This is Mike Coetzee of Light Opera Works, and I'm here today with our Lerner and Lowe Dream Team, two veterans of past Light Opera Works productions. From Brigadoon, I have Jenny Sophia, and from My Fair Lady, Nick Sands. And together, they are the royal couple at the center of Lerner and Lowe's Camelot. Now, Nick, when you performed as Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady a couple of years ago, it was a shock to most of our audience that you are not a veteran performer of musical comedy.
No, I grew up with singing. My father is a professional singer, mainly in oratorio, and runs three choirs and does those things. So I actually grew up singing in his madrigal choir and doing G&S, but hadn't done a musical for 20 years. So it was something I hadn't done. I work with music all the time, being the resident fight director at Lyric Opera. So it's not like I'm afraid of the music, I'm just afraid of singing. It was just an accident of my career that it's happened that way. And then Rudy Hogemiller, the artistic director, auditioned me for My Fair Lady. And it's a role I'd played in the play, in Pygmalion. So it was like falling off a log to a certain extent. And I really had a great time. It's got me back into musical theatre. And you can't do better than singing with a 30-piece orchestra. It changes everything.
I know a lot of actors whose confidence would immediately crumble upon having to sing on stage with a 30-piece orchestra, but you really seem to just relish it.
Well, that's the acting. I was totally terrified. It took a long while to get comfortable with what it was doing. But it's interesting because I know that Rudy and Bing wanted me to speak a lot more of it when I started. I basically said to them, oh, you want me to be Rex Harrison? And they went, yeah. And then once they found out that I actually could sing most of it, I sang probably 80% of the role. I enjoyed that very much, to be able to do that. I'm so confident about it just because I've had that much more experience in the scenes and the actual just the acting of the show, that it's nice to have that shared responsibility with the singers. They come for it with all this great preparation, and they know the music, and their voices are gorgeous, and I come to it terrified about doing that, but, you know, I'm really confident about doing the scenes. The acting is just so simple for me, so we get to share responsibility for the show, and that's great.
Well, speaking of shared responsibility, I got to hear Jenny rehearse a little bit this afternoon, and obviously singing holds no terrors for you.
I love to sing. I love the music in this piece, so I'm definitely comfortable when it comes to the singing. And I usually start with the songs, and I get an essence, I get a feel for the piece, for the world, and then I plummet into the scenes. I would probably say my challenge would be my lack of understanding of this world, the world of Camelot, where it lies, what it's about, the mythology behind it. But I have an amazing resource sitting right next to me that I'm really looking forward to using to discover those things.
So, Nick, as an Englishman, King Arthur.
Yes.
Does he have a special place in your heart?
Totally. I mean, we all of us grow up with the myths of it. I mean, we read the T.H. White, we watch all the films. As a young boy, my father was a classicist, so we would tour Roman sites and ancient British sites all over. Every holiday was digging in some hole or looking at some ancient piece of stone. So I went to Glastonbury, where Arthur's supposed to be buried, and I've been to all the various sites where Camelot might have been, and along the Cornish coast or in Wales, and things like that. And then, you know, I'd be toted up to Hadrian's Wall, if anybody's seen the King Arthur film with Clive Owen. That's set at Hadrian's Wall, so that was like, oh yeah, well, that's not a very good historical representation, but never mind. But it was they had some interesting elements of the history of Britain. So that is part of my DNA to a certain extent, so I know that backwards. It's the musical and the 60s world of Lerners and Lowe that I don't know. It's too easy to say, oh, I'm going to go pagan with this, this is great, this is about the Celtic mythology, and then you go, wait a minute, none of that's in the show. How much of that is useful in the show? Because you've got to meld it with this very witty, very light touch, very, very 60s. I mean, it was written, it's very much a piece of its own time in terms of the free love movement and how that was moving into the culture. The flower people movement is built right into the show. Knowing that cultural moment is just as important as knowing the original Arthur, as it will, as if there was one.
So, Jenny, you just got off the road with South Pacific. You were starring as Nellie Forbush, another show that has at its center a great relationship between the leading man and leading lady. How do those relationships differ, the Emile de Beck, Nellie Forbush, as opposed to Arthur Guinevere? Any similarities?
The intensity of her heart towards another human being, the need to have someone fill her heart, someone that where she can land, where her heart can land, that object of affection. And I think the difference between the two pieces is that her heart is directed towards one man in South Pacific, Emile de Beck, as opposed to Camelot, where her heart is now torn and is directed towards two different people.
It's a very complex triangle, because, yes, of course, you love both men, and both the men have a bond as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole idea of the chivalrous knighthood and the bonds between men in that culture are massively important. We're actually seen as the most important loves for men. Even if you read Shakespeare, you know, through the aristocratic culture at that point, men were supposed to have their major passions with men. Actually, it feminized them, being with women. That was the idea of masculine. You should be with men so that you can be masculine. Women makes you soft, because it makes you emotional. It makes you all those things that make you weaker. That's why Lancelot doesn't want to be with Guinevere, because it stops him being the greatest knight, because it's going to weaken him, it's going to give him a soft spot. So you have this triangle between these men who have this amazingly strong bond through war and, like, the bond between soldiers. I mean, that's possibly the strongest love that happens between human beings, of surviving through something that is traumatic like that.
How are these emotions conveyed in the songs? Songs are very witty. I mean, there are some romantic ballads, but there's a lot of wit and deflection, I think, going on in Lerner's lyrics. Your introduction songs, for example.
I see the songs, and I see them, perhaps because I come at them like, I want to see a good soliloquy. A bad soliloquy is Richard III, who comes at you and says, this is what I'm going to do, because this is who I am. Get it? Now I'm going to do it. Oh, watch me do it. Ah, see, I told you I'd do it. And then Shakespeare learns how to write a great soliloquy, and the great tragedy starts to change that, as you see somebody debate with themselves and come to a decision, and actually you see somebody thinking. And I feel like a lot of the songs in this show are like that. They are debate, the individual debating with themselves, telling themselves they mustn't be doing something, but showing you how emotionally pulled they are towards that choice. And then the fight for their soul over which way they will go, which path they will take. And that makes the song extremely passionate, as well as full of ideas. And I think that's what gives these songs their great tension inside, and they're very clever.
So your opening song, I wonder what the king is doing tonight. Of course, it's a battle between the public and the private.
Yes, what he's basically saying is that everybody thinks they know who Arthur is, everybody thinks they know what a king does, but really, there's a human being underneath it, screaming, because he doesn't want to do it. And that battle between the public and the private becomes everything for them. Lancelot, the same thing. Guinevere, the same thing. How you should behave and how your passions are leading you, especially when the responsibility is all yours. It's magnified to 100 million degrees when you represent Camelot. Arthur is Camelot. So everything that happens to him happens to the state, which is why you watch plays and musicals about kings. If it happened to the guy next door, you go, oh, that's sad. If it happens to the guy who's on the throne, it means the whole country is in for trouble, because now there's no order.
Well, that's part of the lore of this musical, is that it became tied inextricably with the Kennedy administration.
Absolutely, because they had used the mythology themselves as saying who we are and why we're here. We are civilized. We are going to a new era of gentility and openness, and look at the rock star capabilities of the White House. We're going to bring the press in. They were the first White House to bring the press into the private life of the first family. And, of course, look what that led to. I always think of the theory of that as that brought the end of Princess Di. I mean, if you think about it, that was the first time anybody in the Western Hemisphere allowed the private life of the leader to be part of everyday culture. And it began to open up all those doors. So all those kings and queens who had mistresses and things before, they were swept under the carpet. From that moment on, it all starts to come open. And so, you know, you watch them hound down Princess Diana because they're in her private life.
And, of course, it's Arthur's private life that brings him down.
Exactly.
In a way, not only Guinevere and Lancelot, but also Mordred.
Right, he had this affair with a witch. Always a good thing. You know that's going to end badly. And now he has this bastard son running around who is going to be his nemesis.
Anything else you need to get off your chests, collectively, individually?
I didn't get to say how talented and beautiful Jenny was in this version.
Oh.
Jenny arrived yesterday off the plane into rehearsal, you know, on Monday, just kind of like blitzed, and I think on the edge of hysteria arriving here.
The last 2 days have been amazing because you have brought such a peace and a calm by the way that you've embraced this show and you've embraced us and you've embraced me, you've welcomed me in, and I'm really, really looking forward to this journey.
Well, thank you, Nick Sands and Jenny Sophia, starring as Arthur and Guinevere in Light Opera Works' Camelot, playing June 1st through the 10th in Evanston. Thanks for listening.
I wonder what the king is doing tonight. What merriment is the king pursuing tonight? The candles at the court, they never burn as bright. I wonder what the king is up to tonight.